What's up, everybody? Good morning. Good to see you. Hey, before we get into today's message, before you start my clock, if you would, I'd love everybody in the auditorium, if you would just stand to your feet with me, please. I would appreciate that. It is Memorial Day weekend, everybody, Memorial Day. And I just wanted to take a moment as we get ready to go into today's message and after worship, I just want to make sure that we as a church just pause for a moment. I mean, we are in America. I think it's the greatest land in the world. And I know that there are so many people that have laid their lives down to protect the freedoms that we oftentimes take for granted. And I don't want to get on a soapbox here. I just think that sometimes we do. I know that there are soldiers and servicemen and women, Marines and such in this room. And I know that some of us know of maybe friends that have gone before us because of their service to our country. I know that there are some of us that maybe family members or in our heritage or whatever. And I just wanted to take a moment this morning. I would love to just have just a moment of silence. I want to end in prayer. This is just our way to honor all of those that have defended our freedom and paid the ultimate price to do so. Let's just have a moment of silence this morning. Father, we just come before you this morning thankful, so thankful to be in America. Many of us born here, Lord God, we just are so grateful to call this land our home. And Father, for those that we honor this weekend as we think about the ultimate prices that were paid and sacrifices that were made by men and women throughout history that give us the privileges that we have, the freedoms that we enjoy, Lord God, we don't want to blow past that and act like it's insignificant. Or that it doesn't matter. Father, we pray for the families of those that still today mourn the loss of those soldiers, those Marines, those airmen, those seamen, those, Lord God, that have paid the ultimate price. God, we just pray for the families, Lord God, and we just pray in Jesus' name that this weekend that we would just keep in mind this isn't just a day off from work on a Monday. God, this is to memorialize those, Lord God, that have given us something very special and very treasured. And so we just pray, Father, that you would bless the families, Lord God. And we thank you for those men and women, Lord God, that have done for us, Lord God, what is an immeasurable kind of a gift and sacrifice. We just honor them. Lord God, we thank you for them. And then, Father, we just pray as we transition into your word that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So we are in a message series right now that we are calling Recycle. And so I'm dropping things. So if you are brand new to the church, good morning. My name is Josh. I have the privilege to serve as the lead pastor here. I am wearing a tie. We'll get to that in just a moment. I don't usually dress this nice, everybody, but I am today. But we're in this series that we've been calling Recycle. And we've been really using this prop, a bicycle, to sort of be the thematic mindset behind what we're talking about. And so in this series, we've been talking about really the engineering behind the bicycle is that it cycles, right? And so the rubber that is currently on the ground, it comes back around, and it's what makes it quite functional, actually. If those things didn't cycle, these tires, if the pedals didn't cycle, the whole unit wouldn't work. And so what we've been talking about is the reality that our lives need some cycles. And so we're in installment number 3 today. And week 1 was the title track of the series, if you will. I sort of set it up. I laid it out. We used the bike a lot and talked about it and its rhythm and its engineering and how it functioned and what makes it so healthy and so functional. And then last week we talked about resting. Come on, how many of you guys remember that? We talked about rest and how important it is for us to have a rest cycle in our lives. And so what we've been talking about is how to keep the inward person healthy as well as the outer person. And so the scripture that we've been starting with is the scripture 3 John 1:2. It says this: Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. And here's what I want us to pay attention to: even as your soul prospers. So we've been creating a delineation. There's an outer you and there's an inner you. Isn't that right, everybody? So let's say it this way. Like, if you were to gain 15 pounds, you're still you. If your hair turns from black to white, you're still you. If you once were 26 and now you're 63, you're still you. And even though the outside of us has the propensity to change, particularly over time or whatever it is, we are still ourselves. Isn't that right, everybody? There's an outside me and there's an inside me, but the real me is still me. So we've created a separation that there's the outward and the inward, and so just my soul. And so here's the thing that we're talking about a little bit is that oftentimes on the outside, things look really great. Super successful. Everything's working. Business is going great. I'm getting promoted. My kids look awesome. My wife is great, whatever, whatever. But the question that we're asking is like, how are you doing on the inside, really? Like, how are you actually doing? And so we've been talking about recycling some things in our life. Today, we are going to talk about reflecting, everybody. It's just a standard mirror. It came from my house. It's not all that great, but it's just a mirror. I put on a tie this morning on purpose because when we look in the mirror is how we know how we're doing. Isn't that right? It's the reflection of the mirror that tells me, like, it would have been really, really difficult for me to put this tie on this morning and have it, you know, appropriately proportionate and straight and tied correctly and balanced and all that stuff. It would have been really, really hard, perhaps impossible, had I not had this mirror to help me. So we oftentimes have to stand in front of the mirror to reflect because it tells us something about how we're actually doing. How do I look? How are things going? The problem is that many of us only do this on the exterior and we never do this on the interior. And that's what I want to talk about today. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, above all things, above anything else, guard your heart. Where's the heart? That's talking about the inner man. It's on the inside because everything you do flows from the inside. Everything you do. Every decision you make, everything that makes up your character, every time you fly off the handle and lose your cool, everything that you do comes from the inside. Every time that you are the one that's the most life-giving person in the room and you're Captain Compliment and you just, man, everything flows from the inside. And so in preparation for today, I was thinking about this. I am becoming, I wish that this wasn't true, but it is. I am becoming a big fan of the show Survivor. I don't know about you. Some of you guys might be super fans. Some of you guys might not care. I love the show. The more I watch it, the more into it I become, actually. It is quite gripping. I guess because I love people so much and the whole idea of this social game, like, I just really, really get into it. I also think, and this has nothing to do with my point, I think that Jeff Probst is like a rock star. I mean, he is excellent at what he does. I actually note-take some things from him. I file things mentally in order to be a better communicator, to be a better interviewer. I just think he is world class. Like, he's not who he is by accident, right? That has nothing to do with my point. I just thought I would say that. I think he's great. But I love the show. I really, really do. And if you've never seen the show, you should probably come out from under that rock and just give it a try. I think you would enjoy it. I really do. But there was something I noticed about the show. In the show, these survivors, they're castaways on wherever they get sent, all across the world in these unbelievable places. And the thing that has stood out to me the most is they never get to see themselves. And you'll notice this if you ever watch it and you see a group of them that win one of those reward challenges. And then maybe they get to go to a place where they get to take a shower and do a spa or something like that. I mean, you've been out on an island sleeping in the rain for 2.5 weeks, hardly eating every day, and you get an opportunity to go take a good shower when you haven't even brushed your teeth in 17 days. Like, it's a big deal to them. It's a really big deal. And so what stands out to me about the show is that these people never get to see themselves in the mirror. And it's funny every time to me when they do. Because they will look at them in the mirror and they'll have a moment to reflect on themselves. And of course, the ladies are looking at themselves. They haven't had makeup on in 19 days. And they're like, dear God, right? The only thing they like is they're like, woo, I'm getting skinny. Like, they're digging that. But they're changing. And then the guys, man, their hair gets all scruffy and weird. And they start growing a beard, you know. And they look at themselves and they're like, man, like, I wouldn't look like this normally. But I have to look like this in this scenario, right? I remember one one time, one of the contestants looked at himself in the mirror, and I busted out loud laughing because he said, "Oh my God, I look like a refugee." Like, that was his response to his own reflection. And here's what I notice about it, though, is that when they look at themselves in the mirror after that much time, what they realize is things are going a certain direction, and probably not for the better, right? It's like, man, my hair wouldn't typically look like this if I was in the mirror every day. And I probably would have trimmed up, even if I wanted a beard, I probably would have trimmed it up a little bit and edged it or something if I was looking at the mirror every day. The problem is they can't see a mirror unless they were fortunate enough to win that reward challenge that included a mirror, and not all of them even do. But then I was thinking about it even further than that, and if you've ever seen the show, when they get to that final tribal council, the few, in the early days it was like two of them, and now it seems to be three of them, they sit in the final tribal council. Now, for context, it's important that you understand how Survivor works. So you're on this. So for those of you that are under the rock, I'm gonna help you for a second, okay? And it's church under the rock in this case. I'm just kidding. All right. You're in this social game where ultimately you're trying to become the sole survivor. You want to be the last one, the $1 million winner. And in the game, the idea is that you're going to have to vote all these people off this island or out of this tribe, but in turn, those are the same people that are going to vote for you to win or to lose that $1 million. So it's very social. How you do it matters, right? Come on, you've seen it. It's awesome, okay? And so there's this rhythmic thing that happens at every tribal council that I've seen. It happens every single time. What happens is, in some form, in one way or another, you hear people start to communicate that I'm not like this in real life. So these people that have been voted off have the opportunity to interview and ask the finalists a few questions. And typically those questions will be like, hey, the day that you betrayed me, what happened there? Or, you know, they're kind of digging into, like, you said that you were in an alliance with me all the way till the end, but you're there and I'm here, like, what's up with that, right? Like, that's kind of the questions that they'll often get. And what I've recognized is that those survivors will always say things to this effect that, like, well, in real life, I'm not like this. But in the game of Survivor, I had to play like this to get here. And by the way, I think that's true. If you're going to apply for Survivor, you got to lie to some people, right? You got to turn on them. Just helping you win $1 million, okay? I'm just helping you. But it made me think. Because in this game of life, like, the game is always on, isn't it? Just like it is in the game of Survivor. Like, it is never, the game is never off. 24 hours a day, for every day that you survive, you have to play the game. And it's the gameplay that'll force the survivor to betray somebody. It's the gameplay that will cause somebody to flip from one alliance to a different alliance. It's the gameplay that will cause people to not keep their word, or to give partial truths, or to withhold information that they know would benefit you, because if they give it to you, it benefits you, but if they keep it to themselves, it benefits themselves, right? And what happens is they start to turn more toward a player than the person that they see themselves to actually be. But in this game of life, isn't that what society is doing to us? Because we're busier than we've ever been. Technology was supposed to make life easier, more efficient. We were supposed to be able to get more done in less time. And somehow, we're the busiest generation in history. The pace of life and the game of life, it really never turns off. You gotta go. If you're not thinking, someone's out thinking you. If you're not hustling, someone's out hustling you. If you're not doing, someone's outdoing you. And there's this propensity. And remember, in part one, if you were with us, we talked about the curse that's on the ground that leans us toward activity and busyness and doing all the time. The problem is we don't spend enough time with some reflection in the mirror. Because the less time I spend in the mirror, the more I'm going to change, and likely for the worst. Yep. Things will start to become undone, unkept, unmanaged, all of a sudden we'll get to a place where we'll say, yeah, but I'm not like this in real life, but I'm just like this in this case or in this scenario. And so what I want to talk about today is our reflection cycle. We're going to talk about how to reflect, and not one time, but in a rhythm, a cycle in our lives where I need to have a pattern of reflection, because every once in a while, I'm going to have to look in the mirror at myself. I am going to have to determine, how am I doing really? And so in order for us to do this, it's going to go against a lot of what we want to do. It's going to be difficult, because what we're going to have to do are one key major thing, two words. Are you ready for it, everybody? We're going to have to slow down. Like, put the brakes on. Slow down for a second. We're going to have to find a place, a time, a space to just be. I'm just going to be. I'm going to spend some time in some reflection. And so I'm going to give you four things today that I think will help you. Things that you and I should be. Are you ready? All right, number one, if you're a note taker, is that we must begin. We got to start. Many of us are like survivor castaways. We're just in the game of life. Got to go, got to go, got to go. Hustle all the time. Never any time to slow down. Never any time for thinking. Certainly never any time for reflection. Who has time for that? Got to go. And what happens is we drift away from the reflection of who we actually want to be. And so my case today is this. Number one, if I'm going to have a reflection cycle, then I'm going to have to begin that cycle. I'm going to have to start. This is a saying I love to say to myself: if I don't start, I'll never finish. I typically say it when I don't want to do something. Like, I don't want to cut the grass today. It's hot out there. I don't feel like it. But if I don't start, I'll never finish. And so the reality is, if I'm going to actually take some time to check on myself, to look at the reflection, to see how I am really, I'm going to have to start. I just have to begin. And here's where I'm going to encourage you to begin, is in order for you to know what you want to be, you have to know where you're trying to go. So we need to establish some core values, maybe. What do I value? What matters to me most? What are some things who do I want to become? What do I want to achieve? What prices am I willing to pay? These are good questions, but I've got to have some sort of parameters that guide this. If I was going to do something with my hair, I don't like long hair. Listen to me, y'all. This is sacrificial for me to have this much hair, okay? Now, I used to be bald, like completely bald. I used to Bic razor my head bald, and I have a straight and flat head. Like, it can work, but then I grew hair out. Long story short, ultimately at the request of my wife, I just grew some hair back out, and never one time did anyone say, you looked better bald. But I've had dozens of compliments. You look a lot better with hair. So I keep it for you. But I don't like it to get very long. I don't like it. It bothers me. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I look at myself in the mirror at the end of my haircut cycle, which is 2 weeks maximum, everybody, come on, like it's part of the budget haircuts are in our house, all right? The maximum, when I look at myself, I don't like the reflection. I like it tight, skin tight. I don't want hair on the sides of my head. It's not how I roll. My point is, if I don't reflect, I don't know. I don't know. And so what I'm going to have to do for my life is I'm going to have to create some parameters, some boundaries. I know that I like to get my hair cut every 2 weeks. If I could afford it, I'd do it every seventh day. Amen. I would. You would never see me with unkept hair ever. I'd sit in the barber's chair every week, same time. Say, come on, just my person, whoever you are, do it. But the reflection, I have some parameters for me, 2 weeks. So in our lives, what are those? What are those guardrails? How do I know if the choices that I'm making, the demands in my life, are outside of my parameters of who I'm trying to be? How do I know if I'm paying prices I'm not willing to pay? Because no matter what you pursue, you're going to pay for it. No matter what. Every decision has upside and downside. And so, for example, I was watching this thing the other day, and there was this particular coach, and he was saying, to be good at what I do, you have to pay prices, and you have to sacrifice. And he talked about his children, and he talked about events that he had missed, and he talked about things that he was unable to be a part of. But you know what? In his parameters, those were prices he was willing to pay to be where he is in his profession. And thank God people do it, right? Because we love our sports. Come on, everybody. Amen. Say amen if you're a sport. All right. But you might not be, thank you, bud, you might not be willing to pay that price. For you, you might say, my family is my ultimate value, and I'm not going to have a job that gets me outside. I'm not paying those prices. That's not who I'm trying to become. That's not what I'm trying to achieve. That's not the prices I'm willing to pay. If I'm going to have a reflection cycle in my life, I need to first just begin. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you, and I will watch over you. So, number one, we have begun the process. Number two in my reflection cycle is this. I'm going to encourage you to be honest. Be honest. When you look at the reflection of who you're becoming, don't lie about it. Just tell the truth to yourself. This is who I am. This is the reflection of who I am. Is this who I want to be? One of my heroes in the faith, Craig Groeschel, has a quote, and he says this. He says, you can't conquer what you won't confront. And there are a lot of us that we got these things going on in our lives, and here's how I like to say it. We have uphill hopes, and we have downhill habits. Like I hope to one day achieve, but I haven't structured any habits in my life to actually get me there. Because, listen to me, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. Do my systems align with my goals? This is where I need to begin, and then I need to be honest. Because I might not like the reflection that I see in the mirror. And so in order for me to actually get where I'm trying to go, become who I'm trying to become, achieve what I'm trying to achieve, pay what I'm trying to pay, then I'm going to have to be honest about who I am and how I am actually really doing in real time. And I'm just being honest with you. It's hard to be honest with you. It is hard, isn't it? Can I tell on myself really quickly? For like 2 years, I'm not, no exaggeration, that might be slightly conservative. I have been saying, I need to get back in the gym. I want to get back. I like being in the gym. I like lifting weights. I do. It's fun for me. I'm not a cardio guy. I will run. I will run. I can run. I will run every time it chases me. Other than that, I'm not into it. It's not my thing. Okay? Cardio, no, I don't want that. And maybe it's good. Whatever. I like to lift weights. I haven't had a gym membership, and I can't even tell you how long. And, you know, for me, look, I recognize that I am skinny, but I do have a certain guideline that I would like to stay within. And there are times when I look at myself in the mirror that I don't like the reflection that I see. And the problem is that I've had these uphill hopes of going to a gym and reconnecting and getting fit once again, but I have the downhill habit of not actually making it happen. And the truth is, when I look at my reflection in the mirror, I have to own that truth. And thank you to my bro, Josh, for trying to keep me accountable to that. I love you, man. Okay, I have to be honest with myself. And there are going to be times in your life where you're just going to have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, look, this isn't working. You're not getting it done. This won't do. Or you might look and say, we're on track. Way to go. Keep it up. Or anywhere in between. But when I just be in my reflection cycle, I need to begin. I need to be honest. The Bible says this, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Amen, everybody? Just be honest. Call it what it is. Say it like it is. Own that. Move on. We got to make some decisions, which leads me to point number three. I'm also going to encourage us to be intentional. Like, do some things on purpose, for a purpose. I have a little sign in my room that my wife bought me, so every time I get up out of the bed and my feet hit the floor, I'm looking directly at a picture that says, live life with intention. It's a great thing to see first thing in the morning. Just look up at that. Just be intentional. Be intentional. Live life with intention. And I'm encouraging you guys to be intentional. I'm going to begin a process. I know that I need to consistently get in the mirror. So I'm going to begin a rhythmic process where that happens. And then when I look into that mirror, I'm going to make sure that what is reflected back to me, I'm honest about. There might be some things that I am just killing and I want to keep doing it because it's awesome. And then there might be some things that I'm like, man, I need to tweak that. I need to work on that. And then there might be some things that I just need to overhaul. Just all out blitz, man. We got to make some changes. But once I've seen it, then I need to be intentional about changing it. Isn't that right, everybody? I sound like all I ever do is watch TV. Forgive me. But I watched this incredible Netflix documentary recently. And I have to be really careful with the things that I'll talk about. Like, some of you guys think I'm not even saved because I watch Survivor. Forgive me. All right. You do Jesus. I'll do Jesus. But I watched this incredible Netflix documentary a couple of months ago called 14 Peaks. It's awesome. All right. And there you go. I said it out loud. Okay. I've talked about it a couple times and whatever. Judge me however you want to judge me. I watched it and I liked it. Okay. And it's about this incredible man by the name of Nims Persia. And he does this feat that is unthinkable. So across the world, there are 14 peaks higher than 8,000 meters. That's 5 miles straight up. 14 peaks, they're higher than 8,000 meters. And years ago in the late 70s, all 14 of those peaks were summited. And it took the climber 16 years to achieve that goal. Since then, someone else came and they climbed all 14 of those peaks. It took them 7 years to achieve that goal. Nims Persia did it in 6 months, 6 days. Incredible. Superhuman. It's phenomenal. If you like leadership, if you're all about go, drive, achieve, you're going to love it too. And so the interesting thing was that he and his team did something that everyone said was completely impossible. There's no way you could even do that. And in the feat of climbing these peaks and summiting these hills and doing these or mountains, there ain't nothing hills about them, y'all. These things are it's awful. And summiting these things, in the assistance to their climb, they would sometimes wear oxygen masks because the air is so thin at those altitudes. I mean, it could kill you. And so in order to do it this rapidly, they would pack oxygen and at certain points use oxygen to summit these mountains. To which in response to that, they began to get criticized. As real climbers, don't use oxygen. And you're a punk if you do something as superhuman as attempt to summit 14 peaks in 6 months, right? And he got this criticism. And so they asked the original summiter of these 14 peaks. His name is Reinhold Messner. And they said, hey, there's been some criticism of Nims and his team and the way that they're summiting these hills on some of the climbs. They're using oxygen. What do you think about that? And what do you think about the people criticizing them for that? Because really, if anybody had grounds to have an opinion, Reinhold Messner had that ground. I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He said, I like people who do and not chat. I like people who do and not chat. In other words, why are you criticizing? Go do something. Go climb that peak for yourself. Do it without oxygen. Be awesome. Who cares? And in defense of the guy shattering his records, he said, I like people that do and not chat. I say that to say this, that there are too often times, and I preach to myself, that I have a goal that I want to achieve, an uphill hope that I have in my life, and I have a downhill habit about getting there. I don't honestly look at the reflection of my own conduct, my own life, my own choices, and own the reality of what's really going on. I actually have to become someone who has some intentionality. I can't be a chatter. It's time for me to be a doer. I've got to get busy. You want to get there? You want to go to the gym? Then get a stinking gym membership, Hersey. Quit talking about it. Wake up earlier. Stay up later. Figure out in a time of reflection what your parameters are. Who are you trying to be? What are you trying to achieve? What prices are you willing to pay? Have some reflection, right? And then get honest about the fact that you're not doing those things, and then get intentional about making those things happen. This is how I talk to myself in the mirror, and I'm just doing it in front of you. The Bible says to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face. Where does he observe it? In the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's powerful. It's powerful. All right, so we've talked about our reflection cycle. Hey, we're going to begin. We're going to be honest. We're going to be intentional. And then here's the one that none of us want to hear. We're going to be accountable. Can I tell you the one person in this world that you cannot trust? You. It's you. We will lie to ourselves. We will talk ourselves into it. We will talk ourselves out of it. We will find every excuse. We are the kings and queens of justification of our choices and our actions. And it wasn't my fault. If she wouldn't have said that, and if they wouldn't have done this, and if my kid hadn't have broke the whatever, and if and whatever it is, and my dad did this, and his dad did this, and blah, and we will justify ourselves right in to our own self-sabotage, to our own poor choices, to our own demises and our own downfalls. And the greatest reason that's probably happening to us is because we don't have any accountability. We not only need to have people that are willing to be accountable, but I think that we should invite them to hold us accountable. And then I'm gonna go a step further and say I think that we should insist that they are holding us accountable. Because the truth of the matter is, most people don't want to tell us the things that are going to hurt us. But the Bible says, better wounds from a friend than 1,000 kisses from the enemy. What I need in my life are people who love me enough to tell me the truth even when it hurts. Have you guys ever eaten something and you're hanging out with people and then you got the one friend that goes, you might need a toothpick for that. Restroom. And you're thinking to yourself, I've been walking around for 25 minutes like this. How many people have I spoken to? Ain't nobody said a word and I look like an idiot. But you're thinking of whoever that was, those people love me. They'd rather be a little honest and a little uncomfortable to save my face at this gathering than to withhold the information that makes me look like an idiot in front of everybody else. Listen, that's the kind of friends you and I need in our lives. We do. We have to have the type of friend, like we trust them. These people have to earn the voice into your life. But listen, because I could call some of y'all by name. I ain't going to do that because I love you. But you need to cultivate those relationships. Some of you don't have it. I'm gonna just preach one second, I'm gonna close. But some of you don't have it in your life, and your excuse is, well, nobody's really, I don't know, I don't trust anybody, but that's your fault. It's your fault. You're the one that doesn't interact. You're the one that doesn't get vulnerable. You're the one that doesn't invite people behind the curtain of your life to the health of your soul. That's on you, man. That's on you. And what we need to do is find those people. Who are they? And know who they are. And here's what I do. I tell those people who they are. I tell them. I want you to be able to speak into my life. I want you to be able to pull me aside. I have mentors that do this. I have peers that do this. Listen to me, I don't care what their age is, gender, color, background. I do not care. If I think that they are trustworthy enough, for me enough, if I think they have something that they can offer to me, I will give them that permission to speak into my life. My 13-year-old daughter has taught me lessons. And And I could be I'm the dad and I'm experienced and I know all that. Well, sometimes I don't have the right perspective. She does. And there are times where I have to reflect in the mirror and be like, she's right. Or I could just disqualify. Right? I hope I'm preaching to somebody. You can learn something from everybody. And not everybody needs to be the ones holding you accountable, or you're going to get a pool full of critics that don't care about you anyway. But there are people that do genuinely care. They don't care how much money you earn. They don't care what your title is. They don't care if it embarrasses you that you have an issue. They don't care. They are for you. They're into you. They're not into your money or your title. They're into you. They want what's best for you. Listen to me. We have to cultivate those relationships. And then in times of reflection, sometimes we just have to be honest. And part of the reflection cycle might be actually reaching out and say, what do you see? Because this morning, listen, my tie, I don't know if it is now, but it could still be straight. Everything could be aligned and shirt pressed real nice. And I don't know, there could be a grass stain on the back of my shirt that I didn't see. Somebody needs to see my blind spot. Speak to it. Talk to me about it. Say, hey man, listen, maybe you should consider saying something more like this than the way you say this. I think it comes across a little bit different. Maybe a little offensive. Oh, I never thought of it like that. Maybe they're going to say something that you disagree with, but deep down in reflection, you know they're right. And your response in real time might be like, thank you for letting me know. And then you got to go wrestle with that. Listen to me. I just think that if we're going to have healthy reflection cycles, we're going to have to begin. We're going to have to be honest. We're going to have to be intentional. And we're going to have to be accountable. The Bible says, James 5:16, James may be my favorite book in the entire Bible, and this may be one of my favorite scriptures in it. Confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and it produces wonderful results. Church on the Rock, what do we need to have in our lives? We need to have us a rest cycle. We need to have us a replenish cycle. Next week, we'll continue talking about more cycles. With every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a moment in which you can reflect right now. Some of you are kind of looking in the mirror going, hey, man, I need point two a lot, or I just need point one. I got to start. But we got to reflect. We got to be honest. Got to be intentional. We got to be accountable. Some of you might be looking at yourself right now, and you might be discovering that, man, I'm very far from God. Maybe you're a Christian, and you've just recognized, man, there's just such a separation in my connection to God. Okay, well, guess what? He's always saying, well, come back. Maybe you've recognized, like, I do not have a relationship with God at all, and I would like to begin one today. I'm going to end with the same verse I have ended with every week of this series. It's the words of Jesus from Matthew 11:28, when he says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So no matter where you are and no matter what's going on in your life, this is an opportunity for you to just connect back to the heart of God. Maybe for the first time, maybe for another time. Regardless of which it is, I want to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. This is a very simple prayer, and this is our moment where it's like, hey, this is how I reconnect with God. I'm going to be your tour guide. I'm going to lead you through it, and I'm just going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Come on, church. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision. Amen.